So, listen, I'm in a cop family, and I think my obsession with cops must be some sort of unresolved daddy issues. But let's be honest.
I beg your pardon. 3, 2, 1. Hey, Bessie, it's your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated nurse, Nurse John, and welcome back again to your favorite therapy podcast. I beg your pardon. Bestie, another week, another therapy session, another episode, another guest. And I know you're super excited to know who my guest for this week is, but don't worry, Bessie, we're gonna get there. Step by steps, baby steps. Before that, though, do me a quick favor, and if you're listening to this podcast right now, make sure that you download this episode and all the other episodes that you have not listened to so that you can catch up on our podcast and our therapy sessions. And make sure that you follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. Turn on notifications so that you receive a notification when there's a new episode that comes out every single week. It's every single Friday, Bessie, at 12 p.m. EST. But then still follow us because we could ask you questions in the podcast. And I want you guys to answer those questions because I want to know your thoughts, your opinion, and all that stuff matters to me. And also, Bessie, if you're wondering what is my favorite thing that keeps me caffeinated every single week and every single time I work, it's Rise Fuel, R-Y-S-E-F-U-E-L, Rise Fuel. It's a caffeinated drink that keeps me energized every single morning, every single time I have a shift as a nursing clinical instructor, because that's what we're doing now. And if you want to ever get yours, just go to your Google and find R-Y-S-E-F-U-E-L locator so you can find the nearest Rise Fuel to you. Let's crack one open with my guest, but I'm not going to show you my guest yet. I'm going to show you her hands while we cheers this. Hello, hello. Do you hear me?
I do.
Let's crack one up. Let's do a quick ASMR.
Okay. So satisfying.
Satisfying. Incredible. I love this. Do you guys see this? One of my favorite flavor, Baja Burst. Let's try it and tell me how you like it. She has ring pop.
I do. This is very nostalgic for
nostalgic. I love Baja Burst.
It's amazing. It does taste like a ring pop. Brings me back to like when I was 6 years old sucking on these.
I know, right? This is like my wedding ring when I was 6.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
Who didn't do that?
Me and my cousins are like getting married. It's like, oh my God.
Same.
I love ring pop. So guys, if you ever want to get your Rise Fuel, just go again to Google and type R-Y-S-E-F-U-E-L locator and get your Rise Fuel now. And lastly, if you ever wonder if I have any merch that you can support me too, just go to www.nursejohnnn.com and you can find my merch. And if you sign up to my newsletter, you can actually get a discount code. Okay, Bessie, let's head on to our guest for this week. Guess who I brought this time in the podcast? One of the most misunderstood profession by nurses, by doctors, and many other profession, but they are one of the most essential part of the healthcare system, because without these people, baby, my mind will be blown away. First of all, my math, they don't math, okay? Calculation, medication, I hate that. Are you guys getting my spiel? Are you guys getting who my guest is? I hate calculating medication, reconstituting medication, mostly pitazo, baby. We all know shaking that shit at 2 a.m. in the morning will leave you with a broken hand, because it's so hard to reconstitute pitazo. That shit's crazy. There's so many more medication that I don't understand myself, and these people are the ones who I run into. But also, these are the people that we question every single time. Why the hell is my medication not here when I fax it at 7:30 in the morning? Presenting to you guys, Camille, a pharmacist. Hello,
hey,
Camille.
Drug dealer in the house.
A licensed professional drug dealer in the house.
Exactly.
Well, Camille, thank you so much for coming in and being my guest in the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Of course. And I'm so happy because you're coming in here with a pharmacist point of view. And
absolutely.
I really need people to understand what a pharmacist does. and the things that go through a pharmacist's life. Because again, you guys are so essential.
Yes.
You guys are like my life-saving people that I deal with and I need in a hospital.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we're very misunderstood and unknown.
That's
unknown
it.
To the general public also.
That is so,
the
so
amount
true.
Of times I've been told, there's pharmacists in hospital? I'm like, yes. If
absolutely.
We weren't there, there would be even more chaos.
Oh, you guys hold off the chaos. You guys make sure that, okay, guys, take a deep breath, okay? I'm preparing the medication. Things are going well. Your patient's going to survive. Here's the thing. Just take a deep breath. I love it when a pharmacist tells me, John, take a deep breath.
Take a chill pill.
Yeah, take a chill pill. It's fine. The medication is not that bad. I got it. I got it. I got
go.
It handled. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So tell us more about your life. We wanted to know you a bit deeper, more than just a pharmacist. So give
sure.
us a little spiel about your life.
Sure. I'm going to start by saying all these opinions are my own. Just going to give a quick disclaimer.
Thank this you so
is,
much.
This is my opinion. I do not represent anyone else but myself. Second thing I want to say is thank you to Julien Prévost, my old preceptor who gave me, who actually sent me the story that John was looking for a pharmacist. So shout out to Julien.
Julien, thank you so much for sending a pharmacist here. You know, you could have got into the podcast too, right? Both of you. You and Camille could have been here.
He's far though. He's in Gatineau. So
Gatineau.
I had to come represent for both of us.
Thank you for the pharmacy.
Yes.
For the pharmacy people. Love it.
Yeah. So really quick, I'm a recently graduated pharmacist. I did a bachelor's degree before, you know, mm-hmm. starting. I'm Camille. So I was telling this to John a little bit. I have a bachelor's degree in drug development that I did before, but I've known I wanted to be a pharmacist since I'm 13.
Oh.
So yes, yes.
Well, tell me more about that, about you wanting to be a pharmacist when you were 13.
Well, when I was younger, I always knew I wanted to be a healthcare worker for sure. I've always okay. really loved science, biology and stuff like that. And I mean, I've dabbled in the idea of wanting to be a doctor, whatever. And then at some point, I think it was in high school, at some point we were talking and like in a science class or whatever about like medication and stuff like that. And I
oh.
was fascinated about like learning about what the medication does to your body, but also how the body reacts and what the body does to the medication also, right?
Wow.
So yeah, pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics. So I was really fascinated by that. So it kind of piqued my interest. And then at some point, this is going to sound so cheesy, but it's really true. I was in the pharmacy where I actually got my first job before mm-hmm. even getting to pharmacy.
Right.
And I was walking down the aisles with my mom and I just grabbed her arm and stopped her dead in the aisle and looked at her and said, Mom, this is exactly what I want to do. And I point and it's the pharmacist giving counseling to a patient.
Aww.
And she was like, oh, yeah, you want to be a pharmacist? That's a great career. I will encourage you in this. Absolutely. Go, you go, girl. You go, girl.
That looks like it's going to give you a lot of money at the end.
Well, she was just like, well, my mom is orderly. Sorry. That's the word for that in English, right?
Orderly.
Yes.
Oh, she is
an orderly. Exactly.
CNA.
Exactly. So she was like, you go, girl. You know, like she was 100% encouraging me in that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, it sounds super cheesy, but that's the real story. And honestly, I used to tell people, like, I really want to be a pharmacist. I don't care what the money is. And you'll see why this is actually still true to this day, because in hospital, I'm not there for the money. Trust me. So yeah, and like outside, so that I did my PharmD, and I had been working for 4 years in a community pharmacy, retail pharmacy, 4 years before starting into my PharmD.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did my bachelor's. I did my PharmD right away. And then after my second year, how it works in pharmacies, you start doing stages. So you
right.
do internships. Sorry,
internships,
that's the word.
Yes.
Exactly. You do internships. And I did a first internship at my hospital where I actually work at right now. And I had a teacher who was telling me, oh, you know, if you want to be a pharmacist in the hospital, you'd be really good at it. I know it's hard. You
that's
have to
really,
do.
That's really motivating.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
And he was really real because he was a teacher, too, in the faculty of pharmacy. So, like, he knew us a little bit, nonetheless.
Right.
And he was looking at me. And how it works to do pharmacy in the hospital setting is you have to do a master's degree in Quebec. And we're the only province in Quebec, in Canada, that actually has a diploma associated to it.
Oh, that's really weird. So I guess people from the other provinces go to Quebec.
Yeah. Well, no. not even. They actually just do a PGY1 or something or an equivalent. They get like their training by the hospital itself. But you don't get a diploma for it. You don't get like university credits for it. Okay. So we're the only province in Canada that actually has a master's degree program associated. You actually get the paper.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's the cool part of it. So, yeah, basically, I ended up really liking my stage in hospital. And then the third year of pharmacy, you have a lot of classes again. And then the fourth year, how it works during the PharmD, I'm speaking for UdeM because I did all my studying at UdeM. UdeLaval, their program is structured slightly differently. Like how they do their internships and everything is a little different. So I'm speaking for UdeM. But then in the fourth year, you do a full year of stage, like of internships.
Right.
So you oscillate between a hospital and then between the retail pharmacies.
Okay.
And then I really enjoyed the hospital and I already had an idea that I was going to apply for the master's degree. And then how it works is you have to do interviews with the hospitals and you also have to do interviews to get into the master's program. So I got in and I was like, okay, this is settled. I'm doing it. And then... I entered into the hardest year and a half of my life because then the master's degree, how it works is you do one semester of intensive classes and it's like relentless. And then you have to do a research project. So you have to write a protocol for your research project. You also have to you also have to do a seminar and you also have to do another project. Sorry. That's like managing kind of project.
Managing,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So you have all that at the same time, in like on top of like ICU classes, learning like vasopressors and
inotropes. So first of all, I'm already overloaded just thinking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we had a pharmacy class in nursing.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the first year of going through all that medication, pharmacodynamics, pharmacokinetic stuff, I was like, shit, man. I don't know how I'm going to take care of my patient. I was like, I don't even know how Tylenol works. And they go dig deeper to that shit. And I'm just like, I was like, I can change someone's briefs.
If you want the real tea though, is we don't even know how Tylenol works either. You don't even know the mechanism of action, to be honest.
That is so funny because one of the questions that people ask is like, how the hell does Tylenol work? Because we never, nobody explained to us.
We don't really know. We don't really know, to be honest. We don't.
That's
the
crazy.
Mechanism of action is kind of like unknown.
Yeah, it just works.
It just works.
Like my mom. My mom would literally cure everything with Vicks VapoRub. I would have bronchitis. It's like, just put a Vicks VapoRub in your chest. It should work.
Some stuff works. I mean, placebo effect really works too.
Oh, the placebo effect, baby. I would say. And a lot of times, our patients sometimes is like, yeah, just take this medication. It's going to work if you trust me. And then they trust us. I was like, that's not even that for that. And I was like, it's cured.
Yeah.
That's
100% very much worse.
That's so funny. So anyways, going back.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So then I kind of went on this tangent with you. So then I, after that semester of classes that me and my friends would FaceTime and cry, not even joking, I'm very serious. Then you have to do like 1 year of residency. So then you do the internships, you do four weeks rotations on different units. So everybody has to do a little bit of oncology. Everybody has to do ICU. Everybody has to do eMERGE.
So almost like nursing, you guys have a clinical rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. For a year, you do 9 of them. Mine was really rough because I did 7 of the 9 back to back.
Wow.
That was rough.
Oh my God.
That was rough.
That's
and then
a lot of work.
We also do the ACLS class. So we have to do the ACLS, which is very essential. I mean, if you're going to be doing ICU or any kind of idea of how advanced cardiac care goes. So then after that, when you graduate, either you get hired at the hospital where you did your residency at, or you can branch out. I have colleagues who did the residency at other hospitals that came to work at mine and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I was very grateful and lucky to actually get hired right off the bat. Like, I mean, they know you. Been there for a year,
that's
right?
It. So that's what happened to me too.
And then you know the people. You already know how it works.
Right.
And I mean, personally, for having touched a little bit of Francophone hospitals versus Anglophone hospitals, I honestly much prefer the Anglophone hospitals.
Oh, yeah.
I think way and the how people address each other,
it's
everything,
much
the culture.
Different. The culture,
yes.
The environment is very different from the Francophone.
Yes.
Because for people who's listening right now, we're in Quebec, so... Our main language here is French, but we are actually bilingual here in Montreal.
Yeah.
But then our system basically is separate because we have the French system and then we have the English system. But of course, French is like 90% of our services and the 10% is the small little English system. But then the question and the trouble of choosing where you want to go starts with which system can take care of me better in terms of like working environment, pays, overtime and all that stuff. Because I have heard it from my colleagues who work in the French system and they're like, they have like obligatorily overtime shifts. But then in the English system, you're not forced to do that. But in the French, you're like, yep, you have to do that.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's horrible. I mean, that's very sad for nursing. I don't like, I'm very vocal and I'm an ally. I'm an ally to the nurses.
Allies.
Yes, I'm team nurse 100%. I think, anyways, don't get me started on this. I don't even know what to say. Like, I 100% against that. For pharmacists, though, it's kind of different because we're never really much in that situation unless it would be like very dire.
Right.
Which has never happened from my experience. But yeah, so you finish the master's degree and then you start working. And then you kind of choose, I wouldn't want to say a specialty, but you choose a unit. So in this choice you make, I guess, of the unit where you're going to work,
right,
you're going to kind of become a little bit more of a specialist in those kind of medications and everything.
Exactly.
And I chose cardiology because I've always loved cardiology. And then I have other colleagues that John knows.
To the pharmacists that I work with before, I miss you guys so much, so dearly. If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have survived, you know, my 3 years. But I love you guys.
I'll tell them for sure. I'll tell them on Monday, I promise. So then you kind of become a more of like a specialist in the unit you work in. Mm-hmm. And usually pharmacists are going to choose two. I've only been at my hospital for a year, so I'm only still doing one. And then when you're not on the unit, you're at the main pharmacy.
Right, that's
which
true.
Which is very different. But yeah, eventually I'll choose something else. I'm the kind of girl who likes life or death situations, so I'll probably dabble into either ICU or the emerge.
I like that. Girl, you no thrive chill. In chaos. You yeah, thrive in chaos.
I do. You know what? I have a friend who speaks Arabic at work, and she taught me the word for chaos, which is fauda. And I call my unit the fauda unit.
The fauda unit. It is chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
It's chaotic.
With the code blues, yes.
Where do you work right now as a pharmacist? Which unit?
On CCU. So CCU. Cardiac care unit. Exactly.
What's the difference between CCU and ICU for you as a pharmacist?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So within my hospital, I'll always speak within my hospital because that's what's kind of weird of explaining our job is from one hospital and even from one unit to another, it changes a little bit.
It's very different.
It's very different. So even my job versus the job of an ICU pharmacist is different. They're kind of similar within my hospital, but even from one unit to another, it's going to change. So in the ICU at my hospital, they're three. They're three pharmacists.
Oh.
So they get one team per pharmacist. So they have about like 10 patients. Me in the CCU, I'm alone. So I have like about 35 patients.
See?
So yeah.
See, ICU?
Yeah.
You see what we told you? You got 10 patients and we got 75. And you guys complain more? I'm kidding.
I mean, I'm very lucky though, because the quality of my nurses in the CCU is ICU nurse.
Oh.
They're excellent. I love my nurses. Honestly, that's one of the reasons why I chose my sector is even if it's a chaotic unit and it's crazy hours, I never finish on time. Never.
Oh like, my god, I have seen my pharmacist in my unit before stay longer than that, and I was like, girl, go home.
Yeah,
I was like, stop putting orders, stop figuring out things. I was like, do it for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a very hard learning curve, is learning what can be pushed tomorrow and what you have to prioritize.
Right.
So yeah, so I think that's a big difference. And the thing is, you always have someone to rely on too.
That's true.
Because they're three all together, right? I'm kind of alone. However, I have great colleagues. What I really love also about our culture at my hospital is we're all pharmacists who are very pro helping each other, you know? That, like, well, as soon as I have a question, like on transplant right. or whatever thing that's very specific that I'm not a specialist on, mm-hmm. or I call my ID pharmacist all the time.
That's
or
amazing.
Whenever there's HIV stuff, even if I'm decent, I did a rotation of HIV or viral diseases, I call them all the time. And I have colleagues who call me when they have cardiology questions, and it's amazing. So that's what I really love also.
And I think that's good because, I mean, like, the culture should always be about, like, helping each other.
Absolutely.
We're a multidisciplinary team. So, you know, yeah. working with each other hand to hand is what's going to make the job easier for all of us and less stressful.
Yeah. So I would say, like, majorly the difference between ICU and CCU is also the cases you're going to see. Mine are mostly related to cardiology all the time, you know, versus ICU, you're going to have a lot more like of rest distress or like really severe wacky infections like mucor or something, you know,
right,
like,
right.
I mean, it happens in the CCU sometimes too. Like I've had to manage, like I've had to start chemotherapy for two different patients in the CCU, having
wow.
to do like chemotherapy counseling to patients when I'm far from an expert on chemotherapy medication. My colleagues who do oncology are way more knowledgeable or way better at that than I do. But I mean, you do what you can. So yeah, I mean, you kind of have to be good still at the basics and whatever. And then, I mean, when you're in cardiology, I have to manage a lot of diabetes too, because most
right.
of the time, diabetes goes hand in hand with the cardiology issues, or it's
right.
like a bystander that's going to increase your cardiology risk, right? Your cardiac risk. So there's stuff that goes hand in hand. But I mean, I also have patients that are on ventilators. I also have, like, when you have patients that are out of hospital cardiac arrest,
right.
for example, and stuff like that. It's a lot of ICU too, but I would say it's ICU geared towards cardiology. Like
cardiology.
You're mostly going to be managing dobutamine or milrinone and stuff like that. A lot more than other like funky or like rare diseases or very like dire situations. But you do have a lot of patients that are critical. Yeah.
Wow. So like you said, again, you have been working in the hospital for only a year.
Yeah.
Well, before that, what were you doing? So you were working as a retail pharmacist, is that it?
Yeah, so basically what I did is I worked as a pharmacy technician for 4 years before starting pharmacy. And then when you get into pharmacy, they promote you in a sense to pharmacy students. So then you're allowed to do stuff that's like in between a pharmacy technician and in between a pharmacist. And every year you do more, usually the pharmacists are going to let you do more pharmacist related tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would do that while studying. I wouldn't work that much because, I mean, PharmD is PharmD.
Right.
PharmD being what it is. And then when I graduated PharmD, what I did is I had a summer off
okay.
and right before starting the master's, and I worked full-time as a pharmacist because I wanted to have the experience. And I mean, I didn't go into hospital pharmacy because I despised retail pharmacy. That's not
right.
true. I was conflicted, to be honest. But my love for acute care kind of went on the top. That's what made me choose.
Okay. So
yeah.
it's more of the environment that you wanted to be with.
Yeah, and the kind of work you were going to do. Like, I really liked managing patients with complex therapies. I really liked the hospital setting medications. I really enjoyed for a long time, like, doing managing chronic diseases or even doing a lot of stuff you can do now in retail pharmacy. The opportunities of actually doing clinical work now with Loi 41, Loi 31, wildly way better, and you have a lot more independence as a pharmacist, so
that's
really
good.
Great. Yeah,
you know
I mean,
good.
Like, you know, you can prescribe medication for traveler's diarrhea, you can give antibiotics for patients who've already had a UTI, especially, well, I mean, in women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do stuff like that doesn't force people to go to the emergency.
So does that mean that retail pharmacists have more freedom when it comes to like prescribing and ordering stuff compared to like hospital pharmacists?
No, because actually I'm allowed to do that in the hospital too.
Okay.
Yeah, so that applies mostly, I would say. It's harder to apply in the hospital in some cases. But yeah, so that's how it works. So basically I did 2 months of working full time as a
right.
pharmacist, and that way I had my experience too, and it permitted me to keep a foot in the door. Because another thing that happens in pharmacy right now with the shortages, there's, you know.
Oh, so you guys have shortages.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of shortages.
How
of
short
hospital.
Are you from 1 to 10?
In the hospital setting, I'd say a solid 9.5.
Ooh, baby. Yeah, it's bad. 9.5. Baby, that's where we are, nurses. Aren't we 9.8 or something?
Yeah. Solid. Yeah. I mean, we're just right under you guys. I'm going to give you the upper hand that you guys is slightly worse at least. But it's really bad. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to have the experience and I wanted to be able to, if I needed some extra money, because how it works during the master's is you get a bursary, but it's maybe 1/3 of your salary for a year and a half. So I wasn't able to live off of it. Mm-hmm. So I had to work every weekend. So I wanted to have experience and actually be a retail pharmacist. And then that way I could also provide better care for when patients are discharged, because I do the discharge orders on my units.
That's true.
And I want to make sure that I don't get paged and I don't get faxed back by the retail pharmacy. And I want to make sure all the information is there. So
love it.
And usually my colleagues from I've had a colleague write to me on social media at some point saying like, thank you so much. That was the most beautiful like exit prescription I've seen in 25 years. And I was like, here's the email of my boss if you want. If you want to share the news.
Please give a review.
Yes, please give a review. So anyways, I feel like knowing what their reality is helped mm-hmm. me be also a better pharmacist, even if it's in the hospital setting.
Right.
So yeah, I got to dabble into the retail pharmacy world. I still like it. I still feel it's a beautiful career choice. However, I really don't miss getting yelled at for insurances, but you know, I deal with other issues. I deal with other issues in the hospital that they don't.
So is that something that you hate about retail? Like, what is something that you don't want to live again as a retail pharmacist?
Dealing with
insurances.
For sure, that is the worst part. And customer service. I did my part and on the retail side of things. And the customer service, I've done my service, okay?
Yeah.
I've done my years of service. So I do not miss that at all.
It's like, like for nurses, it's like they say like, if you go to the ER, you cannot come back to like med surg or something like that's not the same face as ER.
Oh yeah.
Because you're going to be bored. Like if you're the type of person who thrives in chaos, who thrives in like busy, stressful environment, you cannot go back to something that's low maintenance.
Oh, I believe that.
And again, it's not low maintenance as in like there's nothing to do. It's more of like the environment that you're at.
Yeah, it's not as urgent, I guess. You're not always on the bridge, like a brink of like chaos or like total apocalypse or something, you know? Like that's how I feel like
that is true.
That's what I get from you. So yeah, that's it. And then I did my residency and I would still work every weekend in retail pharmacy to get food on my table.
You are a hardworking, smart girl.
Girl, listen, I tried. I tried. I didn't have a choice or else I would have been in my apartment starving. So, you know, that's what I did. And I think it just made me really grow also as a pharmacist. And it helps me develop my clinical judgment and making decisions and trying to prioritize tasks and everything. My first months in the CCU were honestly hectic. I would get home at 6:30 at night and sleep or cry. I was exhausted and it's part of the game. It's nothing against anybody. It was really a huge transition and it's a lot from being like a student and being a resident and having like 6-7 patients to having 35.
Yeah.
And then what I was explaining to John earlier is that in my unit, how it used to be also is I had to validate and go through all the orders, process the orders myself. So while I'm coming in the morning at 7:30, processing all the admission orders for the new patients, trying to do medication reconciliation, so making sure that nothing from home that was essential was not represcribed while they're in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to rounds. The rounds are like 3 hours.
Hectic. I hate rounds so bad.
I mean, honestly, from experience, it really depends who the staff is.
Girl, let me pause. Let me pause a second.
Go ahead.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Listen, the only thing I like about rounds is that when the people that I'm sitting with, like half at least, or 70% of the people that I'm sitting with are people I love. Like when I see my pharmacist, I was like, yes. I was like, yes, my social worker, physio, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
But then if it's a whole team of you, just like, oh, we're going to sit here in pain for 3 hours.
Yeah, the thing, I'm lucky though, because I feel like in my hospital and on my unit, I'm very, very appreciated by everybody in the team.
And you should, as you should.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very good culture. I've rarely had pushback from doctors when making suggestions. I feel like usually when I recommend something, maybe like 90% of the time it's a yes, you know?
You know why? Because they don't even know what the fuck.
Well, I mean, in cardiology,
you're concerned
though,
about that.
In cardiology, the cardiologists are pretty much on top of their game with the cardio meds.
That's
you know,
good. That's
anything
good.
Off topic of cardiology, then, right. Then they're lost. They're like, Kame. You
oh,
know?
Yeah. Like,
but even then, I mean, there's sometimes I have to intervene. Like, I remember this one time, and I was, listen, you guys are going to find me really petty, but like, I was upset, okay?
Go on.
I was mad.
Spit it out.
So I had a patient who was on rifampin. Okay, so which
rifampin is
sorry.
For
it's usually for tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis,
stuff,
yes.
Okay,
exactly.
Sometimes it's used in other kind of infections.
Give
also.
Me a second. Correct me if I'm wrong. Rifampin makes your pee orange.
It can.
Right.
It can.
I'm doing some nursing thinking in here for you guys. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it can. So. Anyways, the patient's on rifampin, and sorry, I'm going to say words. Don't get me. Don't hate me. I say words. I say name of medications in French because I'm a francophone. I'm a French fry here. But yeah, so he's on this medication, and it interacts with everything, okay? It's a mess to deal
with. Oh,
yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a mess to deal with.
Hate
so the
it.
Patient, I don't remember what the context was, but I think he had just gotten a PCI. He had stents and whatever, so he has to be on double like, antiplatelet therapy. And anyway, so then you can't give ticagrelor, it's contraindicated, and you can't give Plavix because the problem is it's a prodrug, Plavix. So then you need it to be metabolized and into the metabolite that's going to be actually the active drug.
Girl, you're talking in another language. I was like,
I'm sorry, guys.
I was like, what kind of language is this?
If I'm going too far, you guys have to stop me and bring me back. But anyways, basically it has to be processed by your liver and become the active drug. Because it's like if it was inactive when it comes in. That's
you're talking
what we
about,
call a prodrug.
You're talking about Plavix.
Exactly. Okay. So then what happens is if you give it with the rifampin, the problem is it's not going to give you the right amount of, or it's going to make it too much, or you know what I mean? It's gonna affect the pharmacokinetics of the thing.
Right.
So you can't give them together. And basically, it induces one of the cytochromes. I'm not going to go too far in this because this is not the point of this podcast.
No. Can you explain us what you mean by cytochromes? Can you talk apples and orange?
Yeah,
because
sure.
I think our little nursing brain, social working brain.
That's fine. The cytochromes are basically the enzymes that process the meds.
Oh,
okay. So exactly. Okay. And they're in the liver. So usually, see, that's something that the doctors won't know, or this is the whole pharmacy side of it. So yeah, so in big interaction there. So basically, I'm telling the team, I'm like, we can't give Plavix and we can't give ticagrelor. So we have to give prasugrel. It's the only one who doesn't interact, basically. It's not our first choice, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. It's like either something works or something, you give something
doesn't,
a little less effective or that has a little bit more bleeding risk.
Weighing the pros
work.
And the cons.
Exactly. So they're like, okay, that's fine. So then I'm at the main pharmacy the next week and I get an order from the CCU. And they're like, DC Prasugrel, start Plavix. And I'm like, no. And then I'm someone who's very anal. And when I do an intervention or I do a suggestion or I do a pharmacy order, I write a reason. So when I say DC something, because of this. Decrease piptazo because the clearance
and
is
thank
this.
You. And thank you for doing that. Just because like my pharmacist should do the same thing because then... We understand.
You
too.
Guys know.
For us nurses too, we have to understand.
Absolutely. That's
because
so important.
As much as a doctor or the other healthcare providers, we want to know why another medication is changed for this medication. Because you know what happens? Usually that medication comes up again. And I'm the type too who I want to know what I'm giving.
Absolutely.
As a medication.
So anyways, nonetheless, I call them and I'm like... Hey guys, and I was working nights at the main pharmacy that day, and I'm like, this is a no go. I was like, why are you guys changing it? Do you remember? You can't. Like the patient's on rifampin, so they're like, oh, that's why he was on prasugrel. I was like, yeah, like that's why I had written in on the suggest. So then I send back an order from downstairs, and this is the petty part. I go all out explaining the interaction. So
ooh,
I go
girl.
And I like, I wasn't mean. I just wanted to make a statement and be like, this is exactly why. And I want it to be written.
To be clear.
Like, to be written down in the chart, in the orders, that it's very clear that it is a very dangerous interaction and you can't do this.
Well, you know what?
Thank
you for doing that, because then if you cannot advocate for yourself and what you did for the safety of the patient,
yeah,
then we nurses, once we read it and they still do the same thing again, let's say the
you
doctor...
You guys know, exactly.
And we're like, listen, we spoke to Camille,
yeah,
and this is what she said is, yeah, the reason why you cannot do that. That's,
yes,
why, you know, I love my pharmacists because I protect them too.
But I love you nurses too.
I was like, listen, she explained to me,
no,
the interaction of this freaking medication, so you listen to me or she's gonna be mad again.
Exactly. And like, I felt bad in a sense, but in the sense I was like, no, this needs to be clear. And I felt petty, but I was like,
no,
this is really important.
It's not petty. And yeah, you know what sometimes you guys do? You love to put this information on the wall where you guys sit on the unit.
Yeah.
It's like, caution, just FYI,
yeah,
this medication, because you guys often see it, these are the things you have to know. I
absolutely
love it. I love it.
It's so important. So yeah, so I mean, and then it was just funny because I fax it, you know, and I keep a registry that I, you know, I put that in the chart or whatever, in the online, in my pharmacy system, blah, blah, blah. And my colleague opens it and he looks at me, he's like, are you good, bro? I was like, yes, this is very important. I was upset, okay? I had to say my piece.
Oh my God, that is so
funny.
It was
just very funny.
That's really funny. But at the same time, again, you are doing the right steps for the safety,
yeah,
of the patient.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it's the patient who's going to suffer. It's the patient who has,
exactly,
to go through all of this.
Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure all of the people who's not in healthcare, who's listening to this, appreciate what you did, because you're advocating not only for yourself and for your profession, you're advocating for the person who's getting this treatment.
Yeah, the whole point of this is not even like flexing my pharmacy knowledge, you know? It's
oh, yeah,
really for sure. Because I was panicking. I was like, this is dangerous, you know?
Right.
So I just wanted to protect the patient. Always, whatever I do, and I think nurses, it's the same thing. Whatever we do it what's best for the interest of our patients at the end of the day.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for like saying that, because
yes,
some people don't understand. Like, we don't lose time or lose our energy to argue about something just because we like to argue.
Yeah. I do, but that's not why.
Right. Apart from my personality, outside of this profession.
Yes, yes.
I'm arguing because it matters to me, and it matters for me to advocate for my patient who cannot do it for themselves. First of all, they don't know anything about cytokines, CYPG, whatever that letter stuff is. You know what I mean?
They don't know even the name of their medication and what they're taking.
Thank you. And
they
the only And the only person who can do that and advocate for that is us. Healthcare workers.
Absolutely.
So, you know, don't feel like someone is being rude to you for explaining all of these things and you like, oh my God, are you trying to be smart ass? No. They're trying to protect someone,
yeah,
who's vulnerable, who's unable to do that for themselves. And that's their job as that profession.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love
and
it.
For all the memes and stuff that go on, and I know that it's stuff that happens in real life too, pharmacy does love nurses, okay? I promise we do, and we never try to make your job harder by not sending meds. I promise.
Okay, you know what? Since you already cracked the first question that people
I
always
broke the
ask,
ice.
You broke the freaking ice. You slam it. You slam it on the floor. Now, I'm going to put you in a hot seat because...
Go. I'm here. Let's go.
I asked my social media people to ask you, and listen, a bunch of nurses just give you so much question, and you guys are asking the craziest question ever.
I have the saucy answers for you. I gotcha.
So, first question. Do you judge people based off their medication?
Never. I feel like that question's more aimed towards like stuff that's, how can I say that, polarized, I guess? Like anything that's mental health, anything that's maybe sexually transmitted.
Like HIV medication,
yeah, absolutely.
STIs.
And honestly, no. And I can speak for myself, you know. I don't even think about that. That's not why I'm here. And honestly, I'm here and I want to make this medication, make sure it's the right medication for you, make sure you're not having side effects, making sure it's the right fit. Because especially anything that's mental health, oh my God, the side effects can be wild, and it's never a one size fits all. And even HIV meds, I've done a 4-week rotation in HIV clinic.
Right.
And I mean, it's very hard to manage. A lot of medications have a lot of interactions all the time also. And there's considerable side effects, and it's much better than it used to be. But even like as a retail pharmacist, also managing side effects of like anything that's depression wise or bipolar meds,
schizophrenia
or
stuff like that.
That's harder. That's the hardest one, honestly. But I mean, and I'm far from an expert on that, so I wouldn't want to go on a tangent on that. But it's a lot of stuff that's important. And like even as a retail pharmacist, I would get patients that would come in and be like, I need my diazepam because I'm in withdrawal from alcohol or whatever. And I never had a judgment pass through. And
right,
there's
nothing for you to do because they're there for help. Again, we come into this profession because we care.
Exactly.
Because we want to help. We're not here to make you feel bad. And again, if it happens to you that there was a pharmacist or a doctor or a nurse that treated you badly, was rude to you,
speak up.
Speak up. And another thing is that don't compare one bad apple to the 99 other good apples.
Yeah, for sure. There's that too. Yeah.
Right? Like one bad experience doesn't mean like every single one of us is the same.
Yeah.
Next question. How often do you get requests for controversial medication without prescription, and how do you deal with it? I don't like the controversial medication because I don't think there's controversial medication.
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless what you mean by controversial is something that's not well established with evidence based.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. Or actually, have you heard about the medication Ozempic?
Of course. Of course.
Okay, can you please explain to the general public what Ozempic is? Because I want to get, because people have been seeing it on TikTok, online, and everything. And people are making joke about this medication as if it's something that's not going to harm anyone. And people can just take it out of nowhere.
Yeah, without going into like too deep into the mechanism of action or whatever. Ozempic was a drug. It's a GLP-1 we call. So it's a medication that's going to help process the sugar. And it's usually used in diabetes, right?
Right.
So it helps to lose weight because it also helps with society. And what happens at the end of the day is people usually get side effects that are quite important. You're going to get a lot of nausea. You can have like people lose weight basically because it cuts your appetite.
Right.
Okay. And sometimes the side effect, the nausea that comes with it, is actually what's cutting your appetite. So you do lose weight. I mean, it is effective. It's very good drug. It's not a one size fits all.
Okay.
Yes, you can lose a lot of weight on it. Some people don't so much. But it is a drug that's known for weight loss and by the mechanisms I just said. However, right now in Quebec, it's very hard to get Ozempic because it's back order. It's been back order. And right now what the pharmacies are doing are prioritizing patients that are using it for diabetes.
And that's the problem. And I think the reason why it's in back order is because people who does
using
not have diabetes are using it for weight loss. So people who actually needs it for diabetes are not getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are just so abusive of this medication. And I don't like the fact that our government and social media is advertising this medication as if, like, if you wanna lose weight, take Ozempic.
Yeah, and that's the problem about drug publicities and stuff like that in Canada, and you're not even supposed to. And what really sucks, in my opinion, is they keep promoting this drug, even if it's in a shortage situation.
Ugh, I
so
swear.
It's like it's so irresponsible, and like, at the end of the day, Big Pharma is there to make money, right? I mean, yes, they're there to develop drugs and stuff, but that's not their main goal. And that's another misconception that people need to understand.
Tell us.
I'm not pushing drugs. As a pharmacist, I'm honestly there to take off anything that shouldn't be there. You know, like that Pantelock that's been chilling for 3 years in an 80-year-old woman who doesn't need it? Take it off. You know, like all this stuff. All we call this in French, the cascade médicamenteuse. So what it basically is that you're taking one drug, it gives you a side effect, so you add on another drug for that side effect.
Exactly.
And then it keeps trickling down.
So
and
you have get a multiple freaking side effect.
Polypharmacy for like no good reason. And sometimes that one drug you're taking that gives you side effect and that you have to take three other drugs to combat these side effects you're getting with that one drug is not even necessary.
Right.
So honestly, what we do as pharmacists is, yes, we're selling drugs. Yes, we're not there to just make money off drugs. And we're not paid by Big Pharma. Big Pharma has zero control on me. Zero, like none. So sometimes that makes me so mad. Be like, this misconception of pharmacists being in cahoots with Big Pharma, not at all. We're 100% against them. And actually, like, we can't get any, like, back in the days, the pharmacists would get paid by Big Pharma for, like, lunches or selling drugs or blah, blah, blah. But then now there's so many laws against that. That never happens. So we're not biased. We're not biased to Big Pharma. Big Pharma, I mean, they're kissing my feet, actually, because they want me to sell their drug. And I'm the one who's deciding
if absolutely. You want to do that.
Absolutely. So, I mean.
So does that mean that, I guess, pharmacists have the freedom to choose if they want to really sell a product? Or
yeah, in a sense, yes. You can choose also which retailer you're going with, like which grocer, I guess. And you're the one who's going to decide which generic company you're going to do business with too. So, oh, I mean, we have a huge say in that. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's why I never wanted to be a pharmacy owner, because I did not want to deal with these things. And I have zero business fiber in me at all. I do not want to deal with
scheduling. That's a lot of work.
And nope, that is not for me. I'm here for the caring. So, I mean, nah. That's it. That's the old. I've done. I circled down this.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that, because then, you know, people who have like judgment or bias against like pharmacists who thinks that you're only here for selling medication and pushing it on us and taking all our money, girl, they don't even get paid enough.
No.
And they're not even getting that money to their pocket.
So when I prescribe something to you, I'm not doing this to make money. It's actually I'm not even getting that money. So I'm really doing it to give you a service.
And I love this because this is so clear now, and I understand it more better as like someone who's outside, you know, the job.
Absolutely.
And I love this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I mean, in a hospital, it's completely different. Like, I don't get no money. So
the money is just not there.
No, it ain't.
It's invisible, baby.
No.
Invisible. Next question.
Oh,
ask by a nurse.
Okay.
Why do you come up at the end of my shift when I needed you most at the beginning of or the mid shift?
If you're talking about like seeing physically a pharmacist, I can't speak on the schedule of my colleagues. However, if you're talking about like when the meds come up, it's very complicated. The medication circuit within the hospital is very complicated, even to me. And the thing is, I'm going to explain to you how it kind of works in the hospital with medication, okay?
Please do.
So, in the main pharmacy, usually in the daytime, we're two pharmacists. Okay. I'm going to speak for my hospital yet again, because we're a bigger center. We're a university level hospital. We're a teaching hospital. And it's sometimes very different in smaller, like, rural hospitals, right?
Right.
But majority of the story is kind of similar. So, we get faxed the orders.
Right. That's us faxing it to
yes.
you.
Yes. So what happens is then we have a big queue downstairs in our pharmacy system.
Right. And because you're getting all the facts from all the different units.
Exactly. So at the same time.
At the same time. So if there's 20 units and there's 20 facts, you're getting 20 queues.
Yeah. So just to give you guys an idea, it's happened to me during the New Year's weekend. I was working with a colleague and I come in at 7:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And he looks at me. He's like, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "Ready for what?" He's like, "The fax queue is at 270.
Girl.
So, yes. So sometimes I know you guys, there's delays. And the other thing too is their texts are very backed up, because when I process an order, that's if I didn't have to call on the unit. That's if I didn't have to scavenger hunt for like labs that I need to evaluate if a dose is right for a patient.
Right.
Or for an indication that's unclear. If I didn't have to page anybody, if I didn't have to call you guys because the prescription is illegible. that happens, man. That happens. Sometimes I feel bad and I'm just like, I call upstairs. I call the nurse. I'm like, "Hi, I'm one of the pharmacists. I'm sorry to bother you, but what the hell did the doctor write, man? Like, even I can't read it."
Let me speak for my nurses.
we don't fucking know too. Yeah. That's why we sent it to you, because we're
but
thinking
you know what?
That
sometimes
you
they
understand
tell you,
it.
But sometimes they tell you, you know, they sometimes you guys know.
But let me tell you something. They actually do not. You know why? Because they would write that with the 5 minutes that they stay on the floor.
Yeah.
That's 6:50 before I arrive.
Yeah.
And they come in and I'm like,
they never come back.
I start reading it. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I was like, you know what? Let me fax it to the pharmacy, because they would know this
better.
They'll
know.
And then you guys call back. They're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I was like, the fuck?
But I mean, so yeah. So then there's those delays. And there's the other thing that you guys don't know that we have to manage downstairs.
What is it?
All the IVs.
That's
every true. IV prescription, every IV preparation that's made by technicians, I have to double check. So I have to check it's the right product. I have to check it's not expired, that it's the right way it was prepared properly and in the right dilution bag or whatever. So that takes a lot of time. And sometimes I come in and there's like a mountain. And there's like 30 IV preps to check. And I'm like, Jesus, take the wheel. But you know.
let him take the whole thing. Oh so, my God.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes down at the main pharmacy.
Right.
So sometimes those explain the delays. And then don't get me started on the tubes, the tubing system that never works, that fails all the time.
Right. Oh
there's
my
that.
God.
So,
I mean, so sorry.
No, but that's okay, because it sucks for you guys too. And I feel your pain. I feel it. But I think that there's the side of it that you guys don't know what goes down in the main pharmacy. And that's why. So that's it.
Just for the patients who's listening to this right now and, you know, wondering and maybe a little bit upset or confused. Why would you not give the medication that is prescribed to us if we need it and that's going to affect our health? There are certain medication, you guys, that is not that needed compared to the priority medication that you actually need. A vitamin medication can wait. An iron medication can wait. There are certain things that we consider as healthcare worker from a pharmacist point of view, by a nurse point of view. And we think through this. We critically think. We just don't decide like, oh, we're not going to give that amlodipine to the patient, or we're not going to give that iron. There are things that we consider, factors that we look at before we do that. We just don't decide. So yes, there are medication that sometimes we don't give you or we hold off. But of course, we tell you that, hey, you're not going to receive your iron pill today just because, you know, our pharmacy is a little backed up. And at the same time, I don't think you need it because your hemoglobin or there are things in your laboratory mm-hmm. that is completely okay.
Yeah.
But you're going to get that medication back when you need it. But it's just that for people to understand, for people who's confused, why would you hold up a medication? Because there are things that are priority first that we have to consider, and there are people who needs priority, urgent care than an iron pill. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, so then I can skip all my medication and
No.
Skipping medication is not the same thing as us holding it, because you're in a hospital. We are in a controlled environment where we can do things and give you things if in case, in a scenario, let's say your hemoglobin just drops, we can give you bloods, we can give you other stuff. But please do not hold off your medication. Take your medication as prescribed. We're talking about hospital
settings. Yes.
Just because, you know, I don't want people to be confused.
Yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely. As you should. That was a very fair and important point you brought up.
Beautiful. That's it.
Moving on. There's a lot of questions.
Next question. How can you read doctor's prescription? Is it something you study in school?
Okay. I would say that it becomes easier. Mm-hmm. Once you know the medications, once you know the dosage, once you know the frequency. The thing is, nonetheless, that's very dangerous when you have to be guessing medications. It's really
mm-hmm.
bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that really bothers me, to be honest, is like the abbreviations that are used sometimes are very dangerous and are not legitimate.
So bad.
And the thing is it can be mixed up for a lot of things.
That's it.
That's the problem.
So for all the medical students listening right now and all other people who can prescribe stuff,
prescribe
please,
properly.
Please write legibly.
Yes.
We don't care if you write with your foot, your left foot, with your neck, whatever that is. I love it.
The
I love
fuck
it.
Is that?
Next. Do you ever have to deal with drama and toxic environment? What question is this, guys?
Yeah. The answer is short and sweet. Yes.
Yes, of course.
In any kind of work environment, honestly. See, I'm not even going to put this down now because we're getting in the juicy stuff. But yeah, I mean, it sucks, but it's a workplace. And even right. within pharmacists, there's little cliques.
Right.
There's
that's
mean
it.
Girl people. And I mean, there, that's in every job, every workplace.
That's
so,
it.
So yeah.
Next. Is it really on the fridge? In the med bin? On the cart? In the freaking pixie? Or do you all really just forget to send the medic? I think we answered this already.
It is.
It is.
The amount of time I go up myself and look in the fridge and it's there.
Listen, the amount of times too, I caught y'all.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Coming up, I was like, oh, I thought it's up. Why are you holding it? They're like, oh.
No, but it's happened to me. I've teased one of my nurses that I'm very close with that we're actually friends outside of work now. Once she's like, Cammy, it's really not in the fridge. And I'm like, listen, hold up, woman. I have a tech on my unit, actually, who actually goes down and does all this medication stuff. I don't have to do anything in regards to actually stock. So she's like, yes, I brought it. So I'm like, okay, if my tech says so, I know it's true. So then I go in the fridge myself and I look and it's there. So I come out just like dangling it in my face and I'm like, hey girl, look what I found in the fridge. And she's like, looking at me like, oops.
Well, it wasn't there 5 minutes ago.
I was like, yes, it was, honey. I literally went right after she went just to make a point.
Nurses, so, you know what?
No, it's sometimes it happens. It's a friendly advice. Sometimes you guys got to look in less obvious places and it's there.
So we have to treasure hunt.
I don't agree with that. I mean, it sucks. But sometimes, I mean, but I mean like some medication you have to protect from light. So it has to be in a brown bag or something.
True.
That's my point.
True.
Sometimes there's a reason why it's packaged that way, right?
So nurses, please keep checking. You know what we're going to do next, guys?
It's half-half. I give half the fault to both of us. Okay, it's 50-50.
I'll take that. So you guys, do your thing. This is a multi-collaborative approach.
Yes.
We're not blaming nobody.
It's half-half.
Exactly. Next question. Which profession do you least like dealing with?
Honestly, none. I mean, usually we're so rare and I feel like we're seen as a rare commodity and kind of like a precious gem. Like people are like, oh my god, there's the pharmacist here, you know.
I know.
So I've
never
really had any issues. I think I would say sometimes a little bit of older school doctors, maybe, just because sometimes they've not been brought up in a circumstance or in an environment that a pharmacist was there and a pharmacist was giving their opinion and their grain of salt.
Oh,
and sometimes
so
I feel like it might be a little bit harder with some doctors in that sense.
Because they're very, they stand on what they believe in from 1945.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Type of thing.
So I feel like that's the major issue. But it's not happened, honestly. Like I can count on my three fingers here how many times that's happened. So I mean, like now all the younger doctors, you know, like within the past, I don't know, 30 years or so, like it's not so much an issue.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Next question. Have you ever prescribed yourself a medication?
I do. I do, actually. Like I was explaining a little bit earlier, in the context of the new laws in Quebec, we're able to prescribe stuff. I prescribed Valtrex for shingles.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to prescribe antibiotics for UTIs in the retail. This is in the retail setting, but technically you could do. Well, I mean, it's harder to apply in the hospital, but anyways, you could always bring it up with the doctor. I re-prescribe home meds when I'm in the hospital that were forgotten by doctors that I can do myself. And then I prescribe antibiotic dosing. I can prescribe labs.
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
I can prescribe labs. If anything related to a follow-up to medication, I can do myself. Like I usually manage, let's say you have a patient on tacrolimus.
Mm-hmm. Tacro.
Yeah, or cyclosporine or something like that. You have to do dosages and levels. I can do that all by myself. And I just go talk to my nurses directly. And honestly, most of the time when this happens, I get orders sometimes from doctors who just say like, vancomycin, blah, 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 or tacrolimus, blah, 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 levels to be followed up and adjusted by pharmacist. You know, they write that on the order because they're like, I'm washing my hands from this, you know?
That is so...
So yeah,
that
we
is
do.
So funny.
We do.
This is so funny. Now, for our last question.
All right.
for all the people listening right now who wants to be a pharmacist, who is a pharmacist, who is going through it, what would you tell them?
Okay, guys. So, do it by passion, not for the money. Because to be honest, I feel like pharmacists have this reputation of making a lot of money. We do not.
Zero.
It's very disappointing when you see what it actually is. I mean, if you're looking at locum stuff, that's very different. It's like travel nursing for you guys, right?
Right,
it's
exactly.
A lot more lucrative, but it's very different. It's hard. It's hard, but it's so worth it if you're passionate about it. And like I was telling this to John, how it works in hospital pharmacy is, listen to this. We're here by passion, okay? Because what you have to do is, like I was explaining in the beginning, you have to do a master's degree, right?
Right.
And what happens at the end of the day is once you start in the hospital, you make about $20 less an hour than a retail pharmacist.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And you don't get... and then you also have to factor in a lot of advantages that they get in retail pharmacy. You can negotiate to get your licensing paid, which is about like $1,800 per year.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
That's expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time, every March, I have to pay and I cry. Makes me cry more than fuckboys, to be honest. There's that. And then like... The other day I have students too. You know, in the hospital setting, you're a preceptor and I have to teach too. And sometimes I feel like the imposter, like I'm like, oh my God, when am I going to teach them? I only have like 1 year of experience, you know,
right.
But it's a lot of fun. It's very draining, but it's a lot of fun. So in the hospital setting, you're really there for passion because there's right. a lot less money and it's a lot of grueling and hard work. But if you really are passionate about medication and like kind of like what I was explaining, making sure that it's the right drug for the right patient and like knowing all the studies and what was really effective and like, you know, medicine-based decisions
right.
and treatments, like it's rough and it's very competitive. But honestly, if you're really passionate about it, do it. I usually don't recommend doing it as a bridge to something else. It's people do it and succeed.
Right.
I just think that I'm kind of in a sense against that because it takes away places for people who actually want to be pharmacists.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if you want to kind of do, if you don't want to be a doctor, if you don't want to be a nurse and you're really interested in the medication side of things, I feel like it's a beautiful profession. And I mean, I'm always going to be pro pharmacy and I'm
for
always
sure.
going to be pro hospital pharmacy too, because like I was saying, we're really lacking people.
And you guys are so essential in the hospital.
Yeah, I feel so too. And what sucks too is like, it really honestly right now, this is, I wanted to bring this up a little bit because this morning my dad texted me. And he tells me, he's like, hey, Camille at Salut Bonjour, you know, for the French Quebecers here who know this show. It's like a very like popular Quebecois show, like a morning show, you know. And they were talking about the how it's hard and there's lack of pharmacists in hospital and it's an issue. And what made me upset about it is my dad was saying that they're saying that it's hard to get in because you have to do a master's. And I was like, nah. That's not the issue. The issue is that the pay is so low compared to retail pharmacy that why in the world would you actually do a year and a half of sufferance? Like, it was horrible. Okay. The master's is horrible.
So it's a year and a half?
It's a year and a half, the master's degree. For like coming into work, starting your career at like $20 less an hour than what you were making at Jean Coutu, you know?
That's crazy.
So I don't, like, they're so out of touch. And what's recently happening too, like, is that they're trying to put people that are only have PharmDs without the master's in the hospital. That's how bad it is right now.
Yeah.
But they're these pharmacists...
They're taking whatever they have as a resource.
Yeah, but the problem is these pharmacists don't have the classes for ICU. They can't manage, like, critical patients and stuff. So what's going to happen eventually is you won't be able... You're going to have two different kind of pharmacists in hospital if that happens. And my other point is, who are the pharmacists who are going to want to do this?
Right.
Like, the pay is going to be so bad because they're going to be paid less than us and they're going to be allowed to do less things than us. So anyways, I feel like what's really going to have to happen is that the government is going to have to step up for nurses because mm-hmm. your work conditions are horrendous. I'm such an ally, like I said. But it's also really bad in hospital pharmacy too. And like, we're struggling. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
In Montreal like right it. Now in the program, there's only 35 students on 55, 60 places.
Wow.
And in Quebec, in U Laval, there's only 15.
Wow.
15. Imagine 15? You have a master's degree like program with only 15 students in it. And what's happening is that the paycheck is not worth it. So honestly, guys, appreciate your pharmacists who are in the hospital because we're here by passion, not for the moolah. There is no moolah.
Just like in nursing.
Exactly. We're here for passion. We have the same struggle for that on that point of view. So yeah, I feel like I'm rambling a lot, but I feel like this is essential information
right.
in making a decision. And like I said, don't do it for the glory. It's really not worth it. Like, don't do it for the title. Don't do it for the money because you'll be very disappointed. And it's a lot of hard work. However, if you're really interested in understanding how the medication is, and if you're somebody who really likes medicine, but you don't want to touch people and that's breaking it off for you for nursing or med school,
mm-hmm.
I mean, pharmacy is a great way to go. Like, you can do a lot of clinical work. You can do a lot of interaction with patients. And it's not because you're in the hospital that you will not interact with patients. That is not true. That's something I had a misconception on. I really thought I didn't want to do hospital pharmacy in the beginning right. because I was right. like, oh, I really like interacting with patients and I'm going to not have that in the hospital. That's a lie. I do counseling all the time with patients when I have the time.
Oh, listen, yeah. I love when my pharmacist goes to my patient's room and they stand there with yeah. their papers.
And going over it. Exactly.
I love it. I love it. The future of pharmacy is
very bright.
It's very bright. It's yeah. very bright for people who loves medication, who loves dealing with all this kind of like, you know, I guess science part of the stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I love pharmacy now. Like, since I had my pharmacy class, I love doing all...
Yeah, pharmacology is very interesting.
Pharmacology is such an interesting part. And yeah. you see how, like, from one medication, it can affect your patient's progression and
Absolutely.
Discharge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It has so much components to it that for you to understand it completely is for you... to get that patient out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And lastly, actually, I said last question, but I actually have one more question.
Go for the extra one.
The extra mile of the question that I want to ask you is that you are part of the P's of nursing. and the good thing is that it's a female perspective this time because the P's of nursing are usually guys because nurses fall in love with the police, a firefighter, a military, physician, transporter, they're all, and pharmacists.
Yeah.
What's up with y'all? Why? What? I mean, have you ever dated a nurse?
I have not, but honestly, I have barely any dating life at all, so I'm really not a reference.
Have you?
Dating in these ages is very hard.
Have you ever dated anyone in the peace?
I've dated policemen and nothing.
Girl, you went on the extreme.
I know. But you know what? That was even before I was in the hospital.
You went on the extreme.
Listen, I told this to John, but I'll tell you guys too. My dad's a cop and my sister's actually doing the RCMP school.
Oh, yes, so, they're both cops.
So, listen, I'm in a cop family and I think my obsession with cops must be some sort of unresolved daddy issues. But let's be honest. But I don't know, man. Listen, I'm not better than any other woman. Men in uniforms does something to me. Right. But honestly, if the question is if I would date a nurse, absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you find attractive to a nurse?
I think the passion, the spark and the eye, you know.
Okay, my male nurses. Do you guys hear that?
I love that.
Nurses. Ah. Male. Listen, if you see the male nurses, they are hardworking. They are the chillest people that you can ever work with.
Attention to detail. Know how to take care of a woman. Aye.
Oh, okay, Mercy. Okay, male nurse. Oh,
listen, shoot your shot with the pharmacist. Shoot your shot with the pharmacist. And
baby,
I mean, yeah.
They will prescribe your own depressant.
I can adjust it. If the doses isn't right, I'll fix it for you, honey.
There you go. Why not date a pharmacist?
We're great people.
Right, guys.
We're usually really hot and smart, too.
Period. That is the confidence we want. And listen, they might not be paid that good, but just like us. So if we combine our pay together,
interesting.
That's a good pay.
Interesting.
That's a good pay.
Facts.
But you're all going to be working full time.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, my God.
At least you'll have someone who understands the pain and the struggle, you know?
Period. I love that.
It's true.
I love that so much. She's not a red flag. She is an absolute green flag, and it's waving.
I try.
It's waving. So for all my nurses, if you ever work with her, that's your pharmacist, girly. That's your pharmacist, girl.
We love nurses. We really do.
Oh my God. We really do. Thank you so much, Camille, for bringing in a perspective from a pharmacist point of view.
Thank you for having me. It was really a pleasure to come give you guys the drug pharmacist.
You are our licensed drug dealer.
Yes.
And I love it so much because now people can understand it more. Nurses can understand pharmacists more. Other healthcare workers can understand pharmacists more. And the general public are getting more grip of what a pharmacist does and how important this job is to the healthcare system for our community and for every single one of our loved ones to be safe and healthy and thriving and not sick and not go to the hospital.
Facts,
no cap.
No cap.
Facts, no cap. Facts, not printer. Facts, not printer.
I use that emoji every time I say facts. I just send the facts.
Facts, not printer. And please, to my nurses, keep faxing.
Yes.
The prescription.
Be indulgent with the processing time now that you guys know how it actually goes down. And I mean, don't hesitate. Call us. Come to your pharmacist if you have questions. I honestly love when my nurses come ask me questions, even if it's stuff on explaining what the drug does and why and how and everything. I love doing that. So don't hesitate. Pharmacists love you.
I love it so much. Again, thank you guys so much. And thank you so much, Bessie, for listening for another episode of I Beg Your Pardon. And Bessie, before you go, do me a quick favor and make sure again to download this episode and all other episodes of the podcast that you haven't listened to. And make sure that you follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. And make sure that you turn on notifications so that you get a notification when a new episode drops. And again, Bessie, I love you so much. And like what Camille said, do it for the passion, baby. Do it for the passion. Love you guys so much. I will see you again for another episode of your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated nurse podcast. I beg your pardon. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Love you. Mwah. Oh, my God. We did that.
Slay.
Slay.